Good evening, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight, I am speaking to one of my most favorite authors. I will tell you the reason that he's one of my most favorite authors is because he writes spine-tingling techno-thrillers. Last year, he was one of the Book of the Year authors for the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. He has a new book launching tomorrow. Terrence P. McCauley is just a fabulous writer. I am so in love with his book. There is no stoppage in action when you start reading one of them. His first book, Sympathy for the Devil, in the modern era, he has one that's kind of back in the 30s. We're going to talk to him about that. But the modern book, the first one is Sympathy for the Devil, and the one that releases tomorrow is Murder of Crows. Terrence wants me to let you know that if you call in to chat with him, the number's 347-633-9609. You will win an advanced copy of his book. You will receive a signed copy with a little bit of swag, too. Without further ado, my friend Terrence McCauley. Terrence, welcome back to Authors on the Air. Congratulations on the release for A Murder of Crows.
Thank you so much, Pam. I really appreciate that.
I love this book. I think I love it more than Sympathy for the Devil. Now, I've read Sympathy twice, and I read The Murder of Crows twice. And I can't decide, but I think I like this one because your you know, kind of good guy, bad guy, Hicks,
right.
I can't decide if he's the good guy or the bad guy. I think I'd want him on my side. But it's a more layered study of his character, and you get a better sense of who he is and why he does what he does. But it's a fascinating read. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I mean, I definitely tried to do something different in this book than I did in Sympathy for the Devil. With Sympathy, I was trying to introduce the readers to a brand new world, a brand new character, a spy thriller that is not necessarily your parents' spy thriller. There are no shaken martinis in this one. There's no Aston Martins. No one is in a casino. Instead, it's about real people facing real-world problems that we face every day we wake up and go on the Internet or open up the newspaper. I didn't want to have any of the standard crutches that you see in a lot of modern-day thrillers. I didn't go with the ex-Special Forces agent called back into the fray or the disillusioned intelligence agent who suddenly gets called back in by the President of the United States. I wanted to do something else. Those books are fine. A lot of people make a lot of money writing them. I just wanted to do something different. And that's why I tried to make my heroes and my villains, most particularly James Hicks, who's the protagonist, to be a lot more accessible than other spy thrillers in the past.
Yeah, you have created a really interesting world with this agency known as the university. I really, really love this kind of book. It has always been my favorite. Spy thrillers have always been my favorite. And because this kind of is the modern version of one, you're right, it's not a CIA guy or an FBI guy. They're not going over their real boundaries or anything like that. I like this very much. And in Sympathy, when you introduced James Hicks, I was thinking, God, this guy's like scary, you know? He's badass. But
yeah,
in the end, I left not knowing if I would want to be his friend or not, but I guess I would have been wanted to. But I didn't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy.
Right.
And I think that's great because he's a little bit of both, and I think that's more realistic for a character. He's more human that way. He doesn't have, you know, these outrageous skills that come with being a special ops guy or something like that, or, you know, highly trained Mossad agent or whatever. But really, really an interesting book. So A Murder of Crows is a wonderful follow-up to this book. we talked a lot about this series, and you told me that the original story actually goes back a long ways, back to the 30s. Can you share a little bit about that, please, and explain it to listeners?
Sure. I've always been a big fan of series in general, both the book series and television series and series of movies. And I always like to see the continuity in those kinds of creative endeavors. So with my earlier work, Prohibition and Slow Burn, both of those are set in 1930s New York. They're both told from two completely different perspectives. Prohibition is about a guy named Terry Quinn, who is a hitman for the most powerful mobster on the East Coast. And someone is trying to undermine his empire, and Terry Quinn has to find out exactly why. He has to use his brains more than his brawn to find out who's undermining his boss's criminal empire. He doesn't necessarily find out who it is, but there are forces at play that are intentionally trying to undermine the empire. In the second book, Slow Burn, we see one of the minor characters from Prohibition, a corrupt Tammany Hall detective by the name of Charlie Daugherty, who has to become something else, just like Quinn had to earlier. Daugherty has to learn how to be a cop again when he's faced with a murder kidnapping that involves one of the most powerful and rich families in New York City. And that ultimately sets up what evolves into the university. And rather than try to write another 30s book that I had trouble getting interest in, I decided to follow the advice of a lot of really smart people and set a story in modern times and write something that was topical. And that's where the idea for Sympathy for the Devil came. And
it's brilliant, though.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I would love to show the obvious connection between the 1930s stories and Sympathy for the Devil. There is a connection. It's a rich history. It goes all the way from the beginning parts of pre-World War II Europe all the way up until present mm-hmm. day through the Cold War. So I've got a lot of ideas planned for that. I fleshed some of them out, and hopefully one day I'll have the chance to be able to entertain audiences with two different types of stories, one set in modern day and then one that harkens back to the World War II and Cold War eras.
Wow, fabulous. Now, you were up for an award for Thriller Fest, which just concluded this weekend. Can you share about that, please? Which award and for which book?
Oh, sure. It was for Best Short Story, and it was for El Cambalache, which was published by Thuglit in issue 17 of last year. And if your listeners don't know what Thuglit is, it was a really important major crime magazine that was published by America's Sweetheart, Todd Robinson, who I believe was a guest on your show not too long ago.
Yes, he was. He was.
And a very talented guy. He's also got a book coming out from my publisher next month called Rough Trade, and it's published by Polis Books. And so he just, you know, putting together any kind of an anthology, especially a monthly one or a bi-monthly one, I think this one was, it takes up a lot of time. And Todd wisely decided that he had to focus on making a living, and unfortunately that means something had to give, and Thuglit was that.
Right.
Was what gave, but
so your story was submitted though. Was it submitted by Thuglit though? El Cambalache.
I don't know who submitted it. That really was a wonder. I know everybody who gets nominated for something says, "Oh, I'm so shocked I got nominated." I really was shocked I was nominated. I had no idea. I didn't submit myself, so that means somebody else did, and I was very glad that they did, because it was one of the best short stories I've ever written, and I was very happy with it. It's also a James Hicks short story. It's set in Argentina, and Hicks, it's set in the time before Sympathy for the Devil, and Hicks has to confront a mentor who has outlived his usefulness to the university and has been ordered to be eliminated. But Hicks has to find a way to fulfill his mission without hurting his friend, and the way he does it is unique. And I was happy with the way it turned out, and so was a lot of other people too.
You know, I will tell you this. I know this much about Thriller Fest. When submissions go in, there are literally thousands that go for each of the categories, so that you were narrowed down to, I think it was 6 or 7 for the best short story is quite something else. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very happy to hear that you were there. I also have to say, in all honesty, I'm thrilled that Brian Panowich won for best book, and that John Gilstrap won for his best paperback. I'm thrilled. There's a good group of authors and a great group of friends too. Did you enjoy Thriller Fest? It's quite the gathering for thriller writers. I think the elite of all the elite go there.
Right. Yeah, I definitely. It was great being around all of that creative talent and all of those people from the same industry. It's good to refresh yourself every once in a while, at least I find, to remind yourself about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I gain a lot of energy from being around people who have the same mission as I do. So it was great being around, people like Brian. I think Brian came in at the, towards the end of it. He was definitely there at the banquet. And I actually sat at the same table as John Gilstrap and Mark Cameron. And my wife and I got a chance to meet them. And that was a really great experience as well. And then also you see legends like David Morrell being around. I mean, it's just, you don't get to see that every day.
Lee Child and John Lesquois and all that. And actually a very collegial group of people. But it's my understanding you also were on a panel.
Yes, I was. It was titled a book about whether hardcover, paperback, or ebook was the way to go. But it was a panel of all of the people, many of the people who were nominated in various categories for a thriller award.
Uh-huh.
So we talked about our individual stories, our approaches to writing, our whether we outline or whether we go by the seat of our pants. And it was a fairly decent-sized crowd, and I found that kind of a panel to be a lot more rewarding than talking about the particular book formats and that kind of thing.
Oh, good. Who was the moderator?
The moderator was the vice chair who's just leaving now. She was in charge of the awards, committee. I don't remember her name.
Oh, okay. I don't know who was on the awards committee, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. She's leaving. She was a great moderator. Her time is up, and I think somebody else is coming in. But she was one of the longest serving members, I believe. But it was a great panel. I really enjoyed being on it. The time flew.
Oh, good. Did you have a lot of readers at your panel?
There were a lot of people who were interested in what I was writing because I was the only technical thriller writer up there, techno-thriller or anything along those lines.
Wow.
I wasn't so that was good. I mean, you had other, of course, since it's the thriller awards, you did have other thriller writers there, but then there weren't people who focus on spies or techno-thrillers like I do. Tess Gerritsen was on there as well with me. So it was a nice experience. Yeah, it really was. It was nice to be around a lot of those people.
Yeah, you kind of just, you feel like you suck up a lot of that energy, don't you? You come back kind of feeling, I don't know, motivated and ready to go, huh?
Yeah, you really do. It's nice to be, it recharges the creative batteries. And that was,
that's you need to do that. Sure.
Yeah, definitely need to. So that's you never want to. And that's why I always try whenever I approach a new book, I always try to do something new, so that way I don't get stale. I don't try to write the same story every time.
Right, I understand that. Have you begun another book yet, or you're just kind of taking a little break to promote this book that is just being released tomorrow?
No, I'm already halfway through the third book in the series of The University.
Ahead.
Yeah, and I am not – it's already halfway through. There are already plenty of twists and turns, and that makes sense. I don't just write – I don't throw grenades in there just for the hell of it. I do it for a purpose, and only if it serves the overall plot of the arc. So of the arc of the plot. So I don't just throw gadgets in there. I actually have something that makes sense. And there's going to be big changes in this one, and it's going to alter the course of the university for years to come.
Oh, my God, I can't wait. I love these books so much. I have to tell you, I'm such a fangirl. You have to excuse me for gushing, but I love these books.
Well, I'm glad you do. And the input is important, too. People tell me, like, that's what the one great thing about when I do go out and I do talk, have the opportunity to hear back from the people who've read my work, whether it's in person or online or via email. I like hearing what they liked and what they didn't like. And as you've probably heard from other writers, people aren't shy to tell you what they think. And nor should they be. They paid their money. They've got a right to their opinion. And I, for one, love to hear it, good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, let's see. Tomorrow, you mentioned that tomorrow you're going to be at a book signing, giving a little talk. Where are you going to be tomorrow?
I'm going to be at the Mysterious Bookshop in New York City. It's on Warren Street. It's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30, or until whenever they kick us out of there. They're fantastic people. The staff down there at the Mysterious Bookshop are wonderful. They've always been great to me ever since Prohibition came out several years ago, and I love the place, and the staff is wonderful, and we'll have refreshments there. We'll have plenty of books to sign. Both the copies of A Murder of Crows will be there, and Sympathy for the Devil as well. And you're going to have a lot of interesting people there, and it'll definitely be worth people's time on a Tuesday night.
Now, for those who are listening who are members of book clubs or any type of a group that you get together and read, you told me before that if they're in the kind of the surrounding area of Manhattan, you're willing to go to and do a book club with them, right?
I certainly am.
A book club talk?
Oh, I certainly am.
It's so unusual to hear an author who's willing to do that, that you'll actually go there and talk to a group of people about your books. So if someone wants to reach you, what is the easiest way for them to reach out to you to go ahead and do that?
Sure, they can reach me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Terrence, T-E-R-R-E-N-C-E-P, Macaulay. That's my profile on there. My website is always the easiest way to get me. It's www.terrence, T-E-R-R-E-N-C-E, Macaulay, MCCAULEY.com. And that has all of my complete contact information. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, email, all of it's right there. And I hear from people from all over the world. I was shocked that I got, right before I read last night at Noir at the Bar here in the city, I got an email from somebody from Australia who liked my work. So and he was looking forward to reading
that, more
of it. Yeah, and that was really a great kick, too, to hear that.
Well, so somebody who's out of town, you'll do a Skype into their book club, too, or to their group,
I certainly
correct?
Will. Yeah, I certainly will.
And
I mean,
really,
and it's, you know, I live near New York City, so I have no problem going anywhere within the tri-state area, New England. Also, I go out to Long Island, of course. I'm going to be at the good people out at the East Meadow Library. You're going to have me out there next week to do a launch for my book. So, I mean, it's, and I'm also willing to go to anywhere, Jersey, Pennsylvania. I even have gotten some offers from people in D.C. who are thinking about it as well, because this kind of book would really appeal to somebody down in the capital area.
Absolutely.
So,
definitely. Oh, that's really good to know. Some authors are just too busy or they don't want to take the time to go to smaller groups, but I know you well enough to know that you're going to do this. Let's take a call. Hi, there. Who's this?
Now, hi, it's CJ Carpenter. How are you?
Well, hi, CJ Carpenter. Say hello to Sam McCauley.
Well,
hey, stranger.
Again. And Pam, I actually have a voice tonight, but I'm really enjoying the. Yeah, I know, I do. I sound human.
Well, you just sounded
but I've been
froggy
really
before when we spoke.
Well, we'll just call that a moment.
Right.
And But I've been really enjoying the conversation because what I really have so much respect for Terrence, who is a dear friend and a phenomenal author, is, you know, I think what you were touching upon a few minutes ago is, you know what, no audience is too small, too large.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're reading, that means you're investing in someone's work. And so I applaud Terrence in terms of him, you know, all of us can go to these big venues, but few of us can go to the smaller venues and be so appreciated the way he is.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
Good speaker. You know, you're a really good speaker, Terrence. So, and besides, you know your book so well, I know that you were a meticulous researcher, and I think that makes a difference, too.
It does, and it's also great.
Wouldn't you think so, CJ?
I'm sorry, go ahead, absolutely. Absolutely, and he is so meticulous in terms of getting the era and the quality and the structure so on target that I don't know if I'm the right person to say this, but very few people know how to do it and do it with quality, and he does.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it, and it's important to get out, as you know, to go out and meet the people and the people who use their hard-earned money to buy your books, and also to hear what they have to say. And I'm often surprised by how well people really appreciate these characters and understand these plots. They remember things about the plot sometimes that I don't even remember. And it was really a kick to be out at East Meadow, Long Island, when a bunch of people started, while I was speaking, they had a side conversation. I thought they were talking about someone they knew. They were actually talking about Roger Cobb from Sympathy for the Devil. So that was a real kick. That was a real kick. So that's why, you know, although it's a lot of hard work to write a book, and it's a lot of time spent by yourself if you do it right. And that's why when it's ready to be published and ready to be shared with the world, it's really a nice opportunity to hear people's feedback.
Hang on one second. Let's take another call. Stay with us, DJ. Hold on.
Sure.
Hi, Ariaga 240. You're live. Who's this?
Hi, this is Dana King calling from Maryland. Hello, Terrence. Hello, Pam.
Well, hi.
Hey.
Hi, Dana. How are you? Dana King,
good.
You know Terrence.
Really
do you know C.J. Carpenter?
Yes, we met at Noir at the Bar in Philadelphia a few months ago.
Okay,
yes,
and Terrence McCauley.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
Dana is a fantastic, I call him a dark crime fiction author. He is a noir author also. Thank you for calling in. Have at it. You're live.
I'm not going to hold you guys up. I don't really have a question. Actually, the question I had, Terrence already answered, which was I was wondering, because as much as I like the techno thrillers, I really have a soft spot for Prohibition and Slow Burn, and I was going to ask if he planned on ever, you know, showing the connection between the two series. And since I see he's going to do that, I think we're all set, but I wanted to call in anyway because I figured if I didn't call, I was just going to have to answer to read it and explain why I hadn't listened to the show.
Rita is Terrence's wife, and I love that. Have you read A Murder of Crows or Sympathy
for the
Devil?
I haven't read A Murder of Crows. I've got it listed on pre-order.
Dana was one of the first people
have you
who did
read,
that.
Did you read Sympathy?
I read Sympathy when it first came out, and I read Pro. And in fact, Terrence was kind enough. Terrence and I met when we were on a panel at BoucherCon in Albany, and he was kind enough to give me a copy of Prohibition, and I had read Slow Burn getting ready for the panel, so I was already in the tank. So when Murder of Crows came out, Sympathy for the Devil came out, I was all over it.
Yeah, they're really great books, and I'm glad that you like the ones back on Prohibition and Slow Burn. So, yeah, I'm thrilled to know that there's going to be kind of that, you know, it's like that donut hole right there that he's going to go ahead and fill in, kind of connect the two books on both sides of it together, and I think that's going to be really interesting too.
Yeah,
so what
I mean,
are you
I
doing
these
days, Dana? Can I just say, CJ, I just have to say, Dana King, after meeting him, the most eloquent, incredibly intelligent man, and he's taken his time to invest in Terrence's work, and to me, that means everything.
Dana was on
one of our Flash Fiction Throwdowns on Noir on the Radio, and his story just blew me away. I mean, I was bubbling after that. Remember, Dana, when you were on? I love that story so much.
That was great. Really appreciate you having us.
Yeah. Yeah, I made him send me the story so I could keep reading it over and over again. You know, when you have a condensed piece of Flash, 1,000 words that tells the whole story, and someone does it so well and so brilliantly, and you're listening, not even standing in front of the author, but listening on the radio to the author read the story, and it blows you away, that tells you how good the author is. And I know, Terrence,
yeah.
you did a noir, didn't you, for ITW when you were up at Fest?
I did the Noir at the Bar on Sunday night. That was after Thriller Fest ended.
Right.
That was put on by Jen Connolly and Scott Aldberg.
Right.
So that was at Shade Bar last night, and that was always a lot of fun too. So you know, I'd love to start doing more Noir at the Bars around the area too. Maybe I'll go down there and sleep on Dana's couch.
There you go. They have a bed you can borrow.
I love how Dana did not say anything about that. But
well, I'm going to steal his television when he's out. I'm just going to. That's the whole ruse.
But I will tell you this funny story. Dana is as Terrence is, unbelievably generous and kind. The first time I met Dana was at a Noir bar in Philadelphia, and I tripped in front of him, fell flat on my face.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I just fell flat on my face, got up as if nothing happened.
Of course.
He's like, and Dana said to me, "How's it going?" And I said, and I said. Head up, and Terrence is the same type of kind, generous personality, and such a enormously talented author that I don't write in that genre, but I have an enormous appreciation for it.
Let
me just give you this information. I'm putting together a Noir at the Bar here in Southwest Florida. You all are invited.
Oh, good.
I'd love to have everybody come down. It would be tons of fun, and it'll probably be in October. So you'll be hearing from me, okay? I'll do a call
great.
Out for authors. Yeah, it'll be
great.
Fun. It'll be fun.
Well,
I
don't want to take much of your time. Terrence, good luck with the rest of the interview. Pam, as usual, you are a delight. And Dana, thank you for not embarrassing me as I embarrassed myself.
CJ, I will tell you, if you ever do that in front of me, if we're at BoucherCon this year and you fall in front of me, I'm stepping over you and pretending like we don't know each other, okay?
Well, no. My usual response is my name is luckily not Grace. So
there you go.
But thanks for calling in, Terrence.
CJ.
Yeah, good luck, Terrence and Pam. Thank you for taking the call, and Dana, thank you for okay, good. And
bye, CJ.
Bye. See you later.
You have a great night. Okay, bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
And with that,
Dana,
I'm so glad
you called in.
I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Terrence can get some more phone calls. Great to talk to you and great interview. Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Dana. Bye.
Bye bye.
You got to love crime fiction writers because there's hardly anybody I don't like out there, but you know, if you're a crime fiction writer and there's someone you're not particularly fond of, you can kill them off in a book in the most vile way. And it turns out most of the group that are these dark crime fiction noir pulp writers. And you know, I know you can write it too. I've seen your work. So, have a really good sense of humor, and I think you have to when you're writing dark crime fiction, don't you think?
You have to, otherwise it becomes autobiographical and nobody wants to read that. So it has to have some amount of fiction to it. And also the writers who are too dark usually don't last too long or have very happy
lives.
So,
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. It's all about keeping, you know, it can be an artist, but you have to keep it real.
You have to. I agree with you. I've been reading a lot of interesting things in social media, and a couple of them I found really interesting. And both of them kind of danced around the same subject, but were different questions, kind of asked in different ways. In light of the tragedies that have been happening, you know, in light of what happened in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub, and mm-hmm. with African Americans who were killed by cops, and then the sniper who killed the police in Dallas and all. Authors are questioning, you know, I have a storyline that's very similar to that. Should I continue to write the storyline that happened, that I wrote before this happened, the book's not out yet, or should I change it? And so, you know, me being such a reader, Terrence, I say, listen, you continue to write. I think, you know, life goes on, both good and bad. And, you know, unless you're writing science fiction, everything you write can happen anyway. You can't mm-hmm. pull back. I don't know if that's right or not. What is your feeling on that?
I definitely feel that by the time it comes to market, if you look at it just from a purely business standpoint, that it'll be forgotten in the immediate consciousness and could also add something new to the overall argument and the overall discussion of whatever had happened. So I would never tell anybody to stop writing anything based on what's happening today, because it'll take probably a year at best for whatever you're writing, probably two years at the very least, to see the light of day. So go ahead and tell the best story you can in the way you planned on doing it.
Right.
That's how I would always recommend it. And then see where it winds up after that.
It's interesting that you say that, because I read so many books, and some of them, when I finish reading, I think, wow, this is really topical. It's relevant. It's happening right now. It's very topical. So, but not stopping to think that the author didn't just write the book that week. It was written a long time ago and had to go through edits and then the publishing process and everything else. So I agree with you. I think you have to be respectful of victims but you can't block out what's real in the world. I mean, it is life. It is happening. And art reflects life as life reflects art. Am I looking at that the wrong way?
No, I believe you're absolutely right. And I do believe that, the book business is an art as much as it is a business. So you also have to remember, if you're a writer, that let's say someone did wind up submitting a story that was very similar to what happened at the Pulse nightclub, and even though it had been written 2-3 years ago, they may get it rejected because it is too close to current events, and that's something that you just can't control. But it might be good if someone is currently working on something that's similar to what's going on in the world right now, maybe to shelve it for a year or so and then revisit it after the elections and start sending it out for a query in early 2017. But I would definitely tell people to, if you're working on something already, go right ahead. Go right ahead and keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, write it. Get it done.
I often see a lot of my romance authors who do something called writing sprints together, and it really seems to energize them, and it's a creative pursuit. Is that kind of what writing a piece of flash, a throwdown piece, does for you? Is it?
How would you define a writing sprint?
Well, I think that it's simply that. It's writing quick stories, you know, in a condensed format, and to kind of get your creative juices flowing. And so when you're doing a piece for like a noir at the bar, unless you're reading from your book, most of them are flash fiction throwdown pieces. You're going to do a piece of flash, which is 800 to 1,000 words. Do stories like that open up the creative juices more, the flow, or does it suck the wind out of you because you've got to make it so good in such a short period of time?
Right. For me, I always love to write in both formats. So I'll try to do a short story in between. If I'm taking a break from a bigger novel, I like to take a break and write a short story just to keep it fresh, uh-huh. so I don't get stale and I don't get into the long-winded format of a novel. I could still write, like right now I'm doing something for a very talented friend of mine, Rick Olerman, who I believe you know. He's at Stark House, and he's doing an anthology that he asked me to contribute a Hicks story to. So I've been working on the third book, as I already told you, and he wanted me to write a story that was related to El Cambalache that was in Thuglit and nominated for an ITW award this year. So I've decided that I've reached a certain limit on the third book in the Hicks series. I have enough down. I know I'm not going to lose my place. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to write a completely different yet related story to the entire Hicks canon. So that way he's going to be thrilled. I still keep the entire university series top of mind, but it's a different format, and it keeps my novel writing from getting stale. So the answer to your question is I like to do all formats because I find the rotation keeps me fresh.
I like that idea. I have a friend of mine who writes women's fiction, and she literally will write a couple novels, and then she throws in a novella, and it's mm-hmm. kind of a between the books, you know, type of a thing. And it's just a mini story, and it's a lot of fun, and doesn't take a lot of time. It's maybe 30,000 words, 30,000 words, and versus the 70-75 for a novel length. And I think that it satisfies readers because they're always real anxious to get the new book. But
right.
And it also, it's like a little bridge. It says, don't worry, it's coming, you know. But here's a little tidbit for you. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's an appetizer, you know. It's like the hors d'oeuvre before the main seating there. So it's kind of neat. I like the idea. And it connects the books, too. You know,
it's also a
freestanding story. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps me. I know, like, for example, when I was writing A Murder of Crows, I had finished the first draft, and I knew I wanted to keep writing. But when I look at something, I hammer away at it until it's as done as I can make it at that particular point. And I had another short story that was rattling around in my head, and it turned out to be a novella that I called The Devil Dogs of Belleau Wood. It was set in World War One.
Right.
And it was about the Marine Battle of World War One, where they were called the Devil Dogs or Hounds of Hell by the Germans who fought them in the Belleau Wood. And I hammered it out. It was told in first-person narrative from Charlie Daugherty's perspective. He was the protagonist in Slow Burn. And it was
right.
about his earlier experiences in World War One as a young man. I hammered that out. And there were a lot of war scenes, a lot of action scenes in it. And luckily, Down and Out Books was kind enough to be able to to publish it. And all the proceeds go directly to the Semper Fi
right?
Fund. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
I
was not only able to do something that helped my craft, but I was also able to use it to help a greater cause as well. So the experiences I learned writing that story reminded me of what it was like to write action, because in Sympathy for the Devil, there isn't a ton of action. There's enough, but it's more suspense than action. In A Murder of Crows, I listened to the readers' feedback, and they said that they wanted a little more sex scenes, they wanted a little more action, and I tried to give them a little bit more of both in this one.
Well, you kick off the book with the action. I mean,
right.
you know, the whole thing starts from jump, it starts, and I love it. I mean, that your dialogue is very sharp, and so that moves your story forward pretty fast. And so I appreciate that. It's not, I mean, there's an economy of words, still my favorite expression by my darling Jeff Beaver, but, you know, who says that's the best thing he's ever learned. But still, A Murder of Crow moves pretty fast. Terrence, have you ever had an interest in writing outside the genre you write in now?
I do, actually. I'm working on a Western that my agent is pushing me to get finished. And once I finish the first draft of I polish off this sequel to A Murder of Crows, I'm definitely going to hit that full force. It's already done, and it's going to hopefully find a home. We're hopeful for that. So that'll be my main push. I've also written in sci-fi genre as well, a couple of novellas that were published by a smaller publisher by the name of Pro Se Press, called The Gatekeeper Chronicles. And I've also written a short story, a Western short story as well, for an Airship 27 production that came out earlier this, earlier this year. So I do try to change it up. And I would love to be able to have at least one full-length work in every genre, including horror and possibly romance, but romance is not my forte, so it would take me a little longer to get my wheels cranked out.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Those are,
and it's okay,
you know,
if you
it's a great. Yeah.
It's okay if you don't.
It's a great genre, and I appreciate people who know how to do it. It's just, it wouldn't be a natural fit for me.
No, there are a couple really great romantic suspense writers who are men, and whose books are actually very, very good, and they write from both the female and the male perspective, generally from the female perspective, and they're very well done. No sex scenes. There's a lot of, it's implied, which is fine.
I agree. Implied is better.
Yeah. Implied is better, you know, unless your thing is to read erotica, and that's fine. We have a show for romance and erotica, and that's great. It's not my thing. I want someone who lets me use my imagination, not even in romance, but in, you know, I think when I first read Sympathy for the Devil, I don't think you detailed what James Hicks looks like.
Right, intentionally.
Yeah, I'm kind of grateful for that, because I like to have my own vision of what someone looks like. And my vision of him from the first book, from Sympathy to now A Murder of Crows, is very different. Interesting.
Yeah, because he does change, too. He changes as a character as well.
He does. That's why I was saying in the beginning, you peeled away a little bit more of the layers of him, because it's so highly focused on him this time. And so my perception of him, even his physicality, is different. And I appreciate his character very much. Thank you so much for that. It's gratifying when an author allows the reader to become involved in the story and to assume some things on our own. In other words, you're not trying to tell me every single detail of the story. You're allowing me to become invested in it and form my own thoughts about it. I very much dislike having someone say, this is what they look like, this is a person, this is how they walk, this is how they dress, this is how the manner of speech and everything else. I don't want that so much. I want to be able to kind of create my own movie in my head when I'm reading. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, makes complete sense to me, and that's why I write him, you know, physically ambiguous, and also too, from a moralistic standpoint, I write him ambiguous as well. I don't make him out to necessarily be a hero. I make him out to be the protagonist of the story that I'm writing.
Right.
If you don't think he's a hero, that's fine. But it's also, too, I make damn sure I don't write anything that's too pro-American, flag-waving, patriotic, my country right or wrong kind of thing. I write mostly about characters in a certain situation that have to respond in a certain way. And, you know, this isn't – I know there are some in the genre that write, you know, from a very certain political slant. I try really hard not to do that, and hopefully by the end of –
I don't feel that at all, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why – and that's intentional. And it's also, too, if you – when people – hopefully plenty of people will read A Murder of Crows, by the time you get to the end of it, you'll realize that bad guys aren't the people you thought they were. And I did that on purpose as well, because I didn't want to tell just another story about your predictable terrorist plot and your predictable terrorists. I wanted to try to change it up a lot, and that's what I try to do.
Well, I will say, for A Murder of Crows, the endings, and I am saying endings,
multiple.
Will just blow you out of the water. Whatever you think is happening, believe me, wait.
just wait another page and wait another page and wait another page. Totally, totally caught me by surprise. And you would think after all the years of reading this genre of book that I would be able to pick up on a lot of clues. Not ever in a million years did I ever imagine the ending of this book. So,
yeah, and neither
did I either until
I wrote it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. You stumped the reader on this one.
Thank you.
So it was great. All right. So tomorrow night you're going to be at Mysterious Bookstore in Manhattan. And where are you? Where else are you going to be upcoming?
I'm also going to be at the East Meadow Library next week as well. And then I'm also working on other appearances that are going to be up in the Hudson Valley, up in Millbrook,
the
Millbrook area.
All right, so the best place to find you is on the website, TerrencePMcCauley.com, and that's
right.
Terrence, all E's, no A, just in case you're wondering, folks.
Right.
And Terrence's website is really great. He keeps you up to date on everything, everything. You'll see all his books right when you open it up. It's real easy to find out. You're going to look, and wherever he's going to be, you'll see it. He's got an everything, interviews and news and everything else. You'll find him right there. So,
right. Yeah. On Tuesday, July 26th, Tuesday, July 26th, I'm going to be in East Meadow, Long Island. And, that's always a great time as well. And then also, you know, people email me sometimes and they ask if I can do a Skype session for a book club, anywhere in the world. I'm more than happy to do it. And, also
okay.
if your local library doesn't carry my book, please ask them to do so. It's readily available. And if you
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily need to go to a Barnes & Noble just to buy my book, they're also available through IndieBound. So your local neighborhood bookstore, hopefully you still have one, can certainly order my book with ease.
Absolutely. Terrence P. McCauley, award-nominated author and the award winner for Sympathy for the Devil. I'm so glad you came to see me today. Congratulations on all your success, and I'm so glad you had fun at Thriller Fest. I'm sorry I missed you, but you and I will see each other, and also Miss Rita will see you in September in NOLA, so that ought to be a good time. In the meantime, keep me posted. You know, if you ever need a reader, here I am.
I certainly will, Pamela. Thank you for everything you do.
Just because I'm jonesing for another university book, you know.
No pressure or anything.
Right? I'm sorry. Your radio host is like putting the pressure on. I apologize for that. But I do love your books. Congratulations on your success. And good luck tomorrow on the big launch day. Please come
Thank
back
you so
again,
much.
Will
I really
you?
Appreciate it. I will. Thank you
All
so
right,
much.
All right, Terrence. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, folks, tomorrow night on Noir at the Bar, Greg Barth, the new host of Noir on the Radio, is going to be talking – Noir at the Bar. Noir on the Radio is going to be talking to Joey Abramo, who's a fantastic writer. So tune in, check out Noir on the Radio. That's author Greg Barth is interviewing author J.L. Abramo. And then on this Friday, I am so happy to announce that my literary hero, John Lesquois, will be here. And John Lesquois was this year's Silver Bullet Award winner at the Thriller Fest for ICW. Please read a good book. Go and get Murder of Crows. You're going to love it. Thanks for being here. And thanks, Mom and Dad. Good night.